Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome. Today we're taking a deep dive into, well, one of history's greatest political cautionary tales, the slow, tragic collapse of the Roman Republic. We're drawing today on the profound and insightful analysis found in David M. Gwynne's The Roman Republic, a very short introduction.
And this isn't just about, you know, walking through a historical timeline. Our mission today is really to understand the systemic rot, like the actual mechanism by which Rome's greatest strengths, its incredible ability to conquer the Mediterranean, became the direct source of its ultimate failure.
Right.
It's kind of a study in political physics, you could say, how a system gets structurally undermined from within.
That perspective is so important. We're looking at why a government that was, frankly, renowned for its complex system of checks and balances. I mean, a system that held together for nearly 500 years.
Yeah.
How did it just devolve into these cycles of civil war and eventually dictatorship? So if you're interested in what really breaks a political system, whether it's ancient or modern, this deep dive offers incredibly powerful, maybe even sobering lessons. Okay, let's get into it.
Right. So to understand the diagnosis, we need know the doctor, so to speak. Our guide today is David M. Gwynne. He's a distinguished academic, professor of ancient and late antique history at Royal Holloway, University of London.
And his background, I found this fascinating. It directly impacts his analysis, doesn't it?
Yeah.
His main expertise is actually in the history of the later Roman Empire.
Exactly.
You know, the time of crisis, the division, the fall of the West eventually.
That's the key thing. He looks at the Republic knowing exactly what it turned into, this autocracy ruled by emperors. And that viewpoint, looking backwards, lets him spot the foundational cracks that showed up in the late Republic.
Okay.
And he traces how those maybe seemingly small political failures at the time grew into the massive structural problems of the imperial age. He's not just reporting on the end, he's digging for the origin story of the empire's built-in weaknesses.
That long-term view is incredibly powerful. It helps him connect figures like Hannibal or Caesar, not just to what they did right then, but to the deep underlying structural forces they kind of embodied.
Precisely.
So let's jump into the core argument of the book, because the premise, it's almost painfully ironic.
Mm.
Gwynne's central idea is that the Roman Republic's amazing success was the direct, maybe even inescapable, cause of its own end.
Yeah, it's the story of a structural illness brought on by winning too much, not by some external attack. The institutions, the traditions, even that fiercely competitive spirit that let Rome conquer the Mediterranean world, it turned out to be tragically inadequate for actually governing this vast, incredibly wealthy, multicultural global empire they suddenly had.
The political machine was designed for a city-state, basically.
Exactly. And suddenly it's trying to run half the known world. It just couldn't cope.
And the source of the toxicity was the spoils, right? The book is very clear on this.
Very clear.
Unimaginable wealth, huge new territories, massive armies, tons of slave labor. This didn't benefit everyone equally. It mostly went to the elites.
Right. And that corroded the social fabric. It completely overwhelmed the existing political checks and balances. And it unleashed these huge personal ambitions that the old system was actually built to contain, but it just couldn't handle anymore.
So the spoils of success were like a poison pill.
That's a good way to put it. Gwynne gives us this essential framework for understanding the dynamics of the decay. He shows how these great figures, you know, Caesar, Pompey, they were ultimately symptoms of this underlying disease rather than the primary cause themselves.
Okay, let's establish the baseline. Before everything started to go wrong, the Republic was founded on, well, Gwynne calls it an almost pathological fear of monarchy.
Yeah, after they kicked out the last king, Tarquinius Superbus, that was like their founding trauma. The whole political ideology revolved around preventing that from ever happening again.
And that central ideal was libertas, liberty from tyranny.
Exactly. And to protect it, they built this incredibly complex machinery. You had two consuls elected every year who checked each other. You had the Senate, technically advisory, but it became the de facto government.
And the popular assembly.
And the popular assemblies, right. The whole system was defined by these multiple layers of checks and balances. It was designed to prevent any one person or group from getting too much power.
And their early success really came from their genius for adaptability, didn't it? They had these deep internal conflicts, like the struggle of the orders between the patricians and plebeians.
Huge conflicts.
But they resolved them through political compromise, mostly. Not civil war, at least not then.
And that adaptability built resilience. Those compromises led to two really key lasting innovations. First, the creation of the Tribune of the Plebs.
The veto power.
Yes. An official whose actual person was sacrosanct, couldn't be touched, and who had the power to veto any action by any magistrate. Huge power. And second, the 12 Tables. Rome's first written law code. So the Republic was this living, evolving system until it wasn't anymore.
So where did that adaptability break down? Grin points to scale, right?
Sure.
The crisis point wasn't really an internal failing, but a consequence of this massive expansion after the Punic Wars.
Yeah, Rome becomes the superpower, but its governing system is still fundamentally designed for a small, mostly agrarian society. It just couldn't scale up effectively.
And here's where that systemic poison really starts to work its way in. Gwyn identifies three main corrosive effects from all that success.
Right. First, economic disruption. You get this massive influx of cheap grain from the provinces and huge numbers of slaves working the land.
Which just decimated the small Italian farmer class.
Exactly. These were the guys who were the backbone of the traditional army. They lost their land, couldn't compete, and ended up flooding into Rome.
Creating this volatile, landless, urban poor.
Totally dependent on handouts and political favors in the city. A recipe for instability.
Okay, so that's one. What's the second?
Second, social stratification. The wealth gap just exploded. It became astronomical.
Hmm.
The senatorial elites got obscenely rich, mostly from exploiting the province's tax farming, land grabbing, you name it. This created a hyper-wealthy class whose interests were completely detached from the average Roman citizen.
So the political elite were just playing a different game entirely.
Completely different game. And third, political strain. Governing these massive, far-flung provinces required generals to hold military commands for long periods, years sometimes.
Which gave them immense personal wealth, control over vast resources.
And crucially, personal armies. Armies located far, far away from the Senate's direct control back in Rome. The old system relied on generals coming home and dissolving their armies quickly. That just wasn't happening anymore.
Okay, this feels like the perfect storm brewing.
It really was.
And this is the ground zero, really, for the collapse, starting with the Gracchi brothers in the 130s BCE. They were aristocratic reformers trying to use the assemblies to fix that land crisis we mentioned. A totally constitutional move, right?
Yeah, totally constitutional, using the existing levers of power. But their attempts were met with just violent, unconstitutional opposition from the entrenched Senate elites who stood to lose out.
And their murder. They were murdered by political mobs.
Yes, and that was the real watershed moment. It shattered two critical unwritten rules, what the Romans called the mos maiorum.
A mos maiorum. That's like the ancestral customs, the political norms.
Exactly, the operating code of the Republic. The traditions and manners that were never actually written down in law, but were considered sacred.
Okay.
The murder of the Gracchi shattered two of those norms. One, the idea that the Tribune of the Plebs was sacrosanct, inviolable. And two, the absolute refusal, up until then, to settle political disputes with street violence.
So once violence becomes a tool in politics,
the foundation is irreparably cracked, even if the written laws are still there.
And then came what you called the truly fatal structural shift, engineered by the military leader Gaius Marius.
Yeah. So the backbone of the old army, the small farmer, was basically gone, right? They'd lost their land. So Marius needed soldiers. He reformed the military by recruiting directly from that landless urban poor class. He offered them pay and, critically, the promise of land after their service.
Okay. Seems practical, maybe.
Practical, but with devastating consequences. This single move, Gwyn argues, was probably the most destabilizing development in the whole collapse. It transformed the army. It went from being a temporary citizen militia, loyal to the abstract idea of the state, the Republic, into a professional client army, loyal solely and personally to the general who guaranteed their retirement pay and their plot of land.
Ah, so loyalty shifted from the state to the individual commander.
Precisely, and that meant that every successful general was now a potential warlord, with an army willing to follow him anywhere.
And the first to really cash that check was Lucius Cornelius Sulla.
Yes. He used his client army to do something previously just unthinkable. He marched on Rome itself.
Well, against his own capital.
Against his own capital. He established a terrifying dictatorship and brought in these brutal prescriptions, basically state-sanctioned murder lists, targeting his political enemies. He set the precedent. Military force could seize the state. Autocracy was now possible.
And that precedent just normalized using force, didn't it?
Yeah.
The next generation of warlords, Pompey, Crassus, and Caesar, they formed the first triumvirate.
Which was essentially a backroom deal, right?
Yeah.
They pooled their military power, their wealth, their influence to dominate the state completely, pretty much ignoring the Senate whenever it suited them.
The Constitution was basically just a suggestion by that point.
Effectively, yes.
And the inevitable climax was Caesar's victory. Crossing the Rubicon, winning the Civil War, being declared dictator perpetua, dictator for life.
But even his assassination, which the killers thought would save the Republic.
It didn't work.
It didn't work. It just plunged Rome into more civil war. Because the underlying problem, these massive armies loyal only to individuals, hadn't been solved at all.
So the final solution, if you can call it that, came with Octavian, who becomes Augustus.
Right. He defeats Antony and Cleopatra at Actium, but he's smart. He understands Romans will not accept an explicit king.
They still have that deep fear.
Exactly. So he doesn't declare himself king. Instead, he uses what Gwyn calls a masterful blend of ruthlessness and political theater. He concentrates all the real military and political power in his own hands, but he does it while claiming to have restored the Republic, the famous Res Publica Restituta.
So he kept all the old titles, consul, tribune, the Senate still met.
All the forms were there, but they were hollowed out. All the real power flowed to him.
And the populace, after decades of chaos and bloodshed, they just accepted it.
They were exhausted. They willingly traded that chaotic, dangerous liberty for ordered stability under one man. It's the ultimate tragedy, in a way. The Republic died not with a bang, but with a sigh of relief from its own citizens.
Okay, let's pull back and look at the key themes and messages Gwyn wants us to take away from this whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Because they feel incredibly relevant today.
They really do. The first theme is the absolute necessity, but also the fragility of political norms that mos meorum.
Yeah, the reflection here is powerful. Gwyn shows the real danger isn't usually one big dramatic crime, is it? It's the sequential violation of small, unwritten rules.
Exactly. Little by little.
Once violence against political opponents is accepted, like with the Gracchi, or once a general can march his army on the capital, like Sulla, the whole system is compromised. It doesn't matter what the written constitution says anymore. The trust is gone.
That point about political decay, the breakdown of norms, leads right into the second theme, the destabilizing force of extreme inequality.
Mm. The book shows a really clear causal link here, doesn't it? When the wealthy capture all the spoils of success and the masses are left behind, disenfranchised, like those dispossessed farmers filling up Rome.
It creates this permanent state of simmering tension, just waiting to boil over.
And that tension is easily exploited, isn't it? By populist figures, by demagogues, by ambitious generals who promise land and wealth to their followers in return for absolute loyalty.
Inevitably, inequality fuels the fire that burns down the institutions. And theme three, which is maybe the most crucial military lesson here, civilian control of the military is absolutely paramount.
Marius's reform.
Mm-hmm.
It serves as this stark historical warning. Political systems have to ensure that military loyalty is tied irrevocably to the nation-state structure, to the institutions.
Not to the personal ambition or the promises of an individual commander.
Because when that loyalty shifts, the military transforms. It goes from being an instrument of defense to being the potential tool for internal political destruction.
Yeah, that's maybe the clearest warning of all.
So let's highlight maybe three core ideas, sort of synthesis statements from Gwyn that really capture the essence of his analysis, the lines that stick with you.
Okay. Number one, and this really hits the core thesis, the Roman Republic was not destroyed by its enemies, but transformed by its own success.
Right. The illness came from within, caused by victory itself, not some external threat.
Exactly. And number two, which perfectly encapsulates the Republic's fatal paradox, every Roman general was a potential threat to the Republic, but the Republic could not survive without successful generals.
Oh, the catch-22. Success required heroes, but those very heroes inevitably became too powerful for the system they were supposed to serve.
Couldn't live with them, couldn't live without them. And finally, number three, about the end game. The genius of Augustus was not in winning the final war, but in how he disguised his victory. He maintained the facade of the Republic while holding all the real power.
That subtle transition, hiding autocracy within the old familiar forms, that's maybe the greatest warning for any democracy, isn't it? How change can happen without looking like change.
It really is. And this whole story, this breakdown from compromise to crisis, it absolutely has real-life applications for us today.
Absolutely. The first one that jumps out is just a stark warning against extreme polarization. the late Republic got locked into this absolute gridlock between the optimists, the sort of conservatives, and the populists.
Yeah, total gridlock.
They refused to compromise at all. It led to institutional paralysis. The lesson is pretty clear. Extreme partisanship, where defeating your opponent becomes more important than the health or function of the state itself, that's an existential threat.
Definitely. The second application, I think, relates to constitutional adaptability. Rome's early strength was its flexibility, remember, creating new offices like the Tribune to manage internal pressure.
Right.
Its ultimate failure was its inability to adapt its core structures like the annual consulship, designed for a city to manage a global empire.
So modern systems have to evolve. They have to adapt to match the demands of the world, or they risk becoming obsolete, just like Rome's did.
They have to. Stagnation is death for a political system facing new realities.
And finally, there's actually a positive insight, maybe, in Rome's integration policies. While the Republic failed politically, its underlying strategy of incorporating conquered peoples through alliances, grants of citizenship.
Treating citizenship as a tool to deploy, not just a privilege to hoard.
Yeah. That actually strengthened its long-term resilience immensely compared to other ancient empires that were more exclusive. It highlights how important inclusivity can be in building a lasting, strong state.
That's a great point. So, wrapping up, my final takeaway from Gwynne's work is that collapse is, well, it's rarely some sudden cataclysm. He shows that it's almost always a slow, incremental process. Small compromises, political rules being bent then broken, transgressions accumulating over time, just chipping away at the foundation until the entire structure, no matter how strong it seemed, just fails to function when it's put under real stress. It's the slow creep that gets you.
Yeah. What stands out most to me is that bitter irony of success. The Republic's ultimate triumph, conquering the Mediterranean, that very achievement unleashed forces, unimaginable wealth, personal power, raw ambition that were simply too massive for its political container to hold. It really makes you realize that the most profound threats to any great system, any organization, maybe even ourselves, they often come not from outside enemies, but from the unforeseen consequences of our own greatest achievements. Success can be dangerous.
A sobering thought to end on.
Indeed. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.